What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I am Jamie Dodd. My co-host, of course, Thomas Drance, who also covers the team for The Athletic. We're coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet. What are you waiting for? Canucks Talk brought to you by the Hockey Shop in Langley. It's a great day for hockey. 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. We got a lot to get into today, Drancer. It's Canucks game day. The defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers are in town. We'll talk to Brendan Batchelor. We'll talk to David Dwork, who covers the Florida Panthers. And there's some pretty substantial news to get into around the Canucks today as well.
Yeah, so let's get right into it.
Let's go right to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, December 12th. Starting with the headline, as I mentioned, the Canucks are hosting the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. But the bigger story than that is JT Miller will be back in the lineup after a 10-game leave of absence for personal reasons. The last time he played, November 17th against the Nashville Predators. And he confirmed today that he will, in fact, make his return. He's practiced with the team a couple of times this week. And he spoke to the media, said he's excited to get going. We'll play a bit of that, or all of that, really. It was fairly brief in just a second here. But obviously, tremendous impact to get JT Miller back in the lineup, especially considering some of the offensive struggles we've seen from this Canucks team in his absence.
Just general two-way struggles, frankly. This team, you know, in Miller's absence, 12 points, which is commendable, but we've seen their form trend in the wrong direction and trend in the wrong direction at an accelerating clip in Philip Peronic's compounding absence. You know, having JT Miller back gives you this sort of optionality where you can play Miller with Hughes as sort of a self-matched five-man unit at the top of the lineup, and you've still got Pettersson to help drive play in those crucial non-Hughes minutes that have been problematic for the Canucks all season, but especially in Hronik's absence. I think we've sort of felt it even more severely. I you know, this team needs this boost. There's, you know, frankly, no aspect of the game in which they have been good enough in Miller's absence to sustain this sort of winning clip. Like, even a 12 point and 10 game winning clip, which is 600 hockey, by the way, from a point percentage perspective, you know, they've done it despite being a bottom five team in faceoff percentage. Miller will help. They've done it despite generating very few shots on the power play, which is actually managed to look dangerous in moments because it's been sharp and efficient, and Jake DeBrusk is finding every single bit of loose change in the crease. But that doesn't change the fact that Miller is going to help enormously in terms of this team's ability to generate shots and quality looks. The 5-on-5 game, you know, guys like Pugh Suter, man, crucial contributions in Miller's absence, filling some enormous shoes or enormous skates, as it were, and doing an excellent job. I mean, Pugh Suter, this team would have been in real trouble if they hadn't found a way to win Pugh Suter's 5-on-5 minutes over the last 3.5 weeks, they would have been in real trouble. They did. Kudos to Pugh, but man, it is a different animal entirely when you're talking about Elias Pettersson as your second line center versus Pugh Suter. Not to mention the benefit of having Pugh Suter be your third line center, and the benefits
or
compound.
Pugh Suter. Should he play with Miller and Besser? I mean, we can get into that later in the show, but I mean, I think that becomes a very reasonable option now.
That's coming, but I like that this team is trying to find ways to get guys like Danton Heinen, who've kind of fallen out of rotation and struggled. Like, I think it's important that you not shut the door on guys like that. You know, as good as Sherwood and Pugh Suter, for example, have been, because that's really what we've seen. We've seen Danton Heinen and Nils Höglander effectively flip spots in the lineup with Suter and
Sherwood.
And I think that's merit-based more than anything. I don't think there's a lot of hand-wringing in this market.
No.
I think there's a lot of understanding about why, but I think it's important that you give guys like Höglander and Heinen ladders to re-ingratiate themselves, to sort of win those jobs back, as it were, or at least gain the confidence to be major depth contributors, because that's been one of this team's issues. They don't have the Joshua on pace for 20 goals and Hoglander on pace for 20 goals. And, you know, how many goals are going to deflect in off Sam Lafferty's Tookus? Like, we don't have that going on in the Canucks lineup right now. And man, would it ever help.
Well, and I think one of the benefits, one of the many benefits of getting Miller back in the lineup, right, is if you go back to the kind of the duo system, which Rick Tocchet has referenced consistently in his time here, right, and you do have JT Miller and Brock Besser at the top of the lineup, Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusque on the second line, you know, Joshua Connor Garland on the third line as a duo, you have spots then next to those guys or in combination with those duos to, okay, hey, Hoglander, if you have a few good shifts in a row, maybe we can bump you up and you can play with Jake DeBrusque and Elias Pettersson, right? Dan Heinen, as you said, you can take some, a few turns or a game with JT Miller and Brock Besser, because it's been really evident with Miller out of the lineup. Like, we had the conversation with Brock Besser, right? Like, well, where else do you put him besides with Elias Pettersson? You know what I mean? Like, if you want to reward a player, okay, you have DeBrusque and Besser with Pettersson. There's no other, like, offensive line because the Suter, Garland, Joshua line is kind of locked down as a trio. Like, there was no good offensive positions to put these guys in the lineup. And I think getting Miller back changes that a lot. It just gives them so many more options to play with. You hope that it helps Besser's game as well. Kind of get back into a rhythm since he's returned from his concussion. So,
yeah, although I think Besser's played well, I just want to say
he's had, like, some good moments.
He
for
hasn't.
Sure.
The goal scoring hasn't been there, but I think the two-way play has, and I think a lot of the work on the power play and on the flanks on the power play and the way he's moved the puck decisively. I mean, I've seen a lot to like in Brock Besser's game, despite the lack of goal scoring since his return.
So that's the on-ice side, or a little bit, obviously. I mean, we could spend a lot of time talking about all the things that JT Miller helps this team do on the ice. But, of course, there's also a lot of interest in the off-ice element of this. And I don't even mean necessarily, like, obviously there's been a huge element of curiosity about JT Miller's leave of absence for personal reasons. But I'm not even talking about just curiosity about, like, the specific details or the salacious details, as Rick Dhaliwal would say, but just curiosity about hearing from JT Miller and whether he chooses to say nothing, whether he chooses to say something, whatever it is. I mean, there's been a lot of interest in this player and in this situation. So JT Miller, obviously, since he's playing today, he got in front of the media, he answered some questions, he started it off with a statement. So it's only about 3 minutes long, and given the level of interest, the importance of the player, the uniqueness of the situation, we thought we'd played all of it for you. So here is JT Miller speaking to the media earlier today.
I am playing tonight, and I really would appreciate if we just stayed away from the reasons why I wasn't here from all of you guys. You can ask all you want, but I'm not going to dive into the reasons why I wasn't here the last 3-4 weeks. So I'm here, I'm with the team, and I am ready to look forward to what's going to happen in the future, not necessarily what has happened in the past. So I know you guys are going to ask no matter what, but I'm just going to say I'm not talking about it, but I just want to let you guys know ahead of time.
How are you doing now?
Yeah, I'm excited to play. I want to play, and you know, obviously fun game to play against the defending champions. So just happy to be around the guys and looking forward to tonight.
What have you seen out of this team since you took a step back?
Finding ways to win, getting contributions from a lot of different guys. You know, obviously with myself and Phil and Demmer and having some injuries, there's been guys that have stepped up, and it's been nice to see. I mean, it was a heck of a road trip by those guys. It's a lot of travel, a lot of games, and come back home and get a couple points has been nice. So obviously we're just trying to, it's been good, but you know, we got a hard schedule the next week. So
how tough has it been to be away?
Yeah, it sucks, no matter what it's for. You know, this is the family away from family here, and you miss the guys, and just excited to be around them and get back and compete.
How about the support you've received just from the organization, management, players, all of them?
Yeah, it meant a lot from everybody, my agent, my family, and then obviously the guys here. Everybody's been awesome.
How about the fans? We've heard your name chanted at games and even at a wrestling event that was here a few weeks ago.
I'm pretty out of the loop on it, but whatever it was, I appreciate it.
You've been durable in your time here. You haven't missed much game act. Like, it's going to be like riding a bike, just jump back in here with midstream tonight?
Yeah, I hope so. But obviously, I'm sure rust is expected. I think this weekend's 4 weeks, so I mean, it's going to be try to keep it easy on myself, play my game, try to make it, like I said, just literally try to make it easy on myself, try to keep it simple, try to play physical, you know, things that I can control.
When did you know this was going to be the game?
pretty much yesterday.
How about the test against the defending champs for the group?
Yeah, for the group, it's a great test. It's going to be a fun game. Obviously, I think the building is going to be awesome. And, you know, we know what to expect from them. So, but I think it's important we just worry about ourselves and go. And we know when we do that, we give ourselves a chance against anybody.
What does it mean to be out there with Thatcher Demko again?
Yeah, it's cool. You know, I admire what he's been able to accomplish and overcome. And for him to be out there and being able to watch him last game, it's pretty special. I know that meant a lot to him. And it meant a lot to the guys to see him back there. It's awesome.
You've always been an emotional player, and you've kind of brought that edge to this team. You know, given what has happened, whatever that may be, do you expect to be that same player?
I told you I wasn't. I mean, I feel like we're toting the line here with that question, so I'm just not going to dive into it.
Did you do a lot of working out right from the time you went to left the team? Have you been physically trying to stay in shape?
Yeah, I take care of myself.
Did you watch games closely or, like, when you were away, or was being away, like getting away from the game entirely?
A little bit of both, yeah.
That is JT Miller addressing the media for the first time since his leave of absence as he gets back into the lineup tonight against the Florida Panthers. And nothing too surprising there, right? I mean, that's an outlet, a perfectly legitimate way to handle it, a perfectly reasonable way for him to handle it.
Absolutely.
And fair enough. That's probably all we should expect, and that's perfectly fair from JT Miller. And, you know, 100%. Obviously you hear him voice the appreciation he had for the support from the organization, his family, agent, teammates, fans, et cetera.
Yeah, and, you know, I've occasionally expressed some frustration about some of the communication here, but that's never about a guy maintaining their privacy, right? I just think that things like a timeline to return or exactly where a guy is rostered, you know, like, do you have an extra roster spot? I think that's stuff that is clearly not private and that I wish the club had been a little clearer about. But as Miller said, I mean, one of the most interesting things that he noted was he didn't know he'd be back until yesterday. So seems to have been, you know, not like relatively sudden in terms of his ramp up, and great to see, right? Like, it's just going to be great to see this team play with JT Miller. You know, the chants are going to be significant at Rogers Arena tonight. Not only is Miller a fan favorite, but he's got literally the most chantable name in the history of the Vancouver Canucks franchise. So I'd expect it to be a pretty emotional evening for a variety of reasons for the player, but also for the fans.
Well, and I think that's a good point, right? Because, and Brandon in Vancouver texted this in, I hope to see an inspired effort tonight. It's been listless the past few games. Joshua's goal and Demko's return didn't seem to spark anything. And that's been a common theme, right? In these big moment games for the team, you haven't necessarily seen that emotional response that you'd like to see. JT Miller, how often have we all said he's the emotional leader of this team? He drags them into the fight, right? If there's any situation, as you said, the building loves him, loves to serenade him, loves to support him. If there's any situation that should be able to, it's the defending Stanley Cup champions. If you can't inject some, if the fans don't inject some energy and the team doesn't respond with some energy into this one, it's going to be pretty baffling, right? Like, this is set up to be a really emotional, energetic night at Rogers Arena, and it should be pretty cool to see JT Miller make his return. Okay, on to the broadsheet portion, and a new name here enters the Canucks rumor mill, courtesy of our guy Rick Dollywall at Donnie and Dolly, who says that he's hearing Vincent Desharnais' name out there on the trade market. Not a big surprise, right? Because as much as you can say, well, they just signed him to a 2-year deal this summer, that's not necessarily a barrier to trading a player away if you're this management group, right? Even go back to the Curtis Lazar deal. That was a 3-year deal. They ended up trading him at that year's deadline. You know, you can think of a lot of examples both here in their time in Pittsburgh, and he's been a healthy scratch pretty consistently. It looks like he's going to be a healthy scratch tonight as well. And if you're thinking, okay, how can we, one, set ourselves up to have even more cap space to play with at the deadline, but also maybe give ourselves a little bit of breathing room to do something before then, if you were able to move Vincent Desharnais' $2 million salary, all of that becomes a lot more straightforward and a lot easier to do.
Yeah, and so, I mean, The truth is that the Canucks always were viewing, I think, the construction of this defense and specifically the bet that was placed on Vinny Desharnais as something that was experimental, that they'd have to see, you know, does it work, right? They went all in on size, replacing Cole and Zadorov with similar, you know, ant-like body types. And, you know, this I think we've watched this team play, and the lack of puck moving has been occasionally at critically low levels,
yep.
right? Levels too low for this team to overcome with structure and on and on. You know, you can try to adjust the way you play, right? Or you can try to adjust personnel. And I think the Canucks have had to adjust the way that they're playing anyway because of a variety of absences. In some ways, maybe we never got a fair sample in terms of what this might look like. But, you know, I think it didn't take long for the returns to trend in the wrong direction for the overall size experiment on the back end. And I think you saw that like five games in when Brännström got into the lineup, and it was like, oh,
yes,
thank goodness, right? Like, there was such a relief to have that level of back end push in the Vancouver lineup. You know, I don't think we've seen anything to disabuse ourselves of this notion that the team needs more get up and go on the back end, as mm-hmm. opposed to some of that, you know, some of those attributes that, and this is the other part of it, that, you know, Desharnais brings and that have occasionally been very welcome, especially shorthanded, but that Juulsen also brings
yes.
and that Soucy also brings.
But Derek Forbort brings, and he's back
and
in
Derek
the lineup
Forbort
now,
brings.
Right? And Mark Friedman's been recalled. He's going to play again tonight. So all of a sudden you start looking at the depth chart and Brännström's there. He's not even getting in, but Forbort's healthy. Juulsen brings a lot of the same things, and it's like, okay, well, where are we going to find minutes for this guy? So typically when the Canucks and Jim Rutherford and Patrick Ovechkin are in that situation, they don't wait around and see if it's going to work itself out, right? So no surprise really to hear from Rick Dhaliwal that he's heard Vincent Desharnais' name out there on the trade market. I did just want to throw this name past you on the waiver wire. Travis Dermott placed on waivers by the Edmonton Oilers. As the Canucks desperately look for more puck moving, is there still any juice left in Travis Dermott's ability to help an NHL team?
I don't know. I mean, I like Travis Dermott. I think he could be a fit. You know, we never really got to see it in Vancouver
no.
because of the head injury that he sustained here, which was too bad, right? Because it felt like, especially that sort of end of 2022-2023 season, where the Canucks had that like Wolanin, Bear, Hughes, Akito Hirose, McWard defense core.
Yep.
And it was just like a bunch of guys, kind of quad A guys in Quinn Hughes, but they were all kind of mobile and they all were playing, you know, what looked to us at the time like revolutionary defensive structure. Mm-hmm. And it worked. I mean, I still think that was the best two-way version of the Canucks that we've got in the Tocchet era. I'm serious, because they were obviously a better lockdown defensive team, but they weren't generating shots
mm-hmm.
last season, right? So I honestly would point to that as being like what I would love to see is Tocchet's system with puck movers on the back end. Like that was the closest approximation we've got.
And actually, I forgot that he was Rutherford Alvin Add. Right, was one of the first transactions they made. Right, was it Hamonic
yep.
to Ottawa, and then they flipped the pick that they got in that for Dermott to Toronto. So
yeah, and
interesting.
I mean, he's played 10 games. He's played 10 games this season in Edmonton, and the two-way results are not pretty, but it's also 125 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, who knows? At the end of the day,
I doubt it. I just wanted to,
agree.
It just caught my attention, and it's $775K on a two-way deal, no term after this year, so there's no like salary or contractual barriers to doing it. Just given what we're seeing from the puck moving and the options on the blue line, I thought it was worth throwing out there. But generally, you know, every time somebody that people have heard of is on waivers, we get the question, right? Are they going to
yeah.
claim them? And it's like, the answer 99% of the time is no.
And this one's more like 95%. Percent of the time,
yeah, exactly.
Worth noting, and just for fun, although Dermott's underlying profile in 125 minutes with the Oilers is pretty nondescript or even outright bad this season. 75 of those minutes with Darnell Nurse is really what's ugly. The other 45 minutes look pretty good. So, just wanted
there
to
you
bring
go.
That up.
Change
for
of
fun.
Scenery candidate, Travis Dermott on waivers.
I don't think that makes sense, but man, I'm dreaming of a Canucks team with a severely upgraded version of what we got
yeah.
down that 2022-2023 stretch. I really think it'd be fun.
All right, lineup notes for today. We've already mentioned that JT Miller is back in. Derek Forbort confirmed to be in as well. Looks like he's going to be skating on a pair with Mark Friedman. Friedman was sent down to Abbotsford yesterday, recalled from the team, obviously, today to get into the lineup. And that means Erik Brännström is going to be out for a second straight game as Derek Forbort draws back in.
Yeah, look, I liked Mark Friedman's game against the Blues. I think Mark Friedman is a good player. So, you know, I think that the issue that I kind of bump into is I still think that the best version of this Canucks defense corps has all of Friedman, Brännström, and, you know, obviously the top pair in the lineup.
Hronek.
So,
yeah.
But I suspect that that's not enough size for this coaching staff. And anyway, we'll see how Forbert and Friedman do. I thought Friedman's individual, like, it's one of those odd ones where I thought Friedman's individual contributions looked good to me. I thought he had some sharp defensive plays. I thought he moved the puck, you know, reasonably well. And yet, you know, his pair with Desharnais against the Blues was outshot 0-4.
Yeah.
Right. And was part of that, like, through 52 minutes of the game, the Canucks had one shot on goal with the non-Hughes pair on the ice. I mean, that's fatal, right? So you hope that with Forbert, and you hope that against this Panthers team that attacks relentlessly, like, that's the other part of this, right?
Yes.
This team is coming at you relentlessly. They are one of the best, if not the outright best, forechecking teams in hockey. If you can't move the puck against the Florida Panthers, if you're not moving the puck and feeling pressure and getting it going in the wrong direction, you're in for a long, long night. So big test for the Canucks defense corps.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's going to be one of the storylines, of one of the subplots of this game. Obviously, the major storyline is JT Miller getting back in. Should also mention that it looks like it's going to be Atu Ratu who draws out to make way for JT Miller coming back into the lineup, which would mean Max Sasson stays in. So he'll get a chance to likely center the fourth line. And Kevin Lankinen will be the starting goalie tonight. And I saw before the decision was made official that there was some kind of debate and conversation happening around this, which kind of surprised me. You have Kevin Lankinen, who's performed so well for you. And how many times have we said what a luxury that's been, not just while Demko was out, but what a luxury it would continue to be once Demko is back. I have no idea why you would have gone with Thatcher Demko tonight after he made his first start in however many weeks, however many months on Tuesday. Now you've got a refreshed Kevin Lankinen to put in. That's great. You can continue to slow play things with Thatcher Demko. I think it makes all the sense in the world for Lankinen to start tonight.
Yeah, the one thing I'd add is, realistically, I think your decision-making needs to be based on a ramp-up of Demko overall, right? Like, that's the overarching logic that has to shape how Vancouver handles their goaltending platoon. And, you know, really with an eye toward the playoffs, where you want your goaltender to start every other day for 60 days if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what you're ramping up.
But
for.
I just, that's where you're trying to get to, but I don't think you have to do it now.
No, well, you can't do it now.
No.
And when I'd add this, like, backing up for the day is not easy. That's not like a physical day off, right? Like, you're the guy who's on late working with the scratches. We watch it for how long every day when we do the show from the rink, 45 minutes. Like, it's hard work, right? There's a lot of movement. You're the guy who does most of the work in warmups. You're focused all night. You could still go in. So by no means is this a day off. And that, I think, matters here too. But, you know, more than anything, it shouldn't be like, I don't think this team's goaltending decisions can be shaped by the usual who gives you the best chance of getting 2 points, even though that has to play a significant role. It has to be done with the big picture.
I just think this checks both boxes.
It might.
It's the big picture one, and it's the, you've got a refreshed Lankinen to put out there now.
And the thing is that we don't know enough about Demko's injury or status to really, like, we're going to watch this play out, and we're generally not going to have an idea of, like, does it make more sense to go and pull back? Does it make more sense to ride for a bit? You know, are there times where the club's going to make counterintuitive goaltending decisions with that big picture in mind? We can't know.
All right, well, we'll skip the playoff standings update. Light night in the NHL, so really no change to the playoff chances, but tell us about the betting odds for tonight, Drance.
The Canucks are home underdogs, plus 150, Panthers minus 180. Now, the Canucks have been underdogs at home. Jonathan Davis on Twitter, a good follow, has been tracking this. He notes that the Canucks are home underdogs for the sixth time all season. Canucks are 0-5 as the underdog.
Ooh.
So they haven't won with plus money on the board at home yet this year. 5.5 is the over-under, and it's a pure pick'em. No steam whatsoever on either the under or the over.
All right, that is the whiteboard for today. Brendan Batchelor joins us next to look ahead to tonight's game here on Sportsnet 650.